The archers broke ranks and ran for the cover of the trees. Laughing, Henderson strolled over the hill to look at the can opener. A team of 20 horses struggled to haul a heavy wooden wag through the tangles of wild grass, raising clouds of gnats.
Don't go to the crest. They can shoot at us from there. Park it just below the top, where we can shoot them, but they can't hit us.
Thomas slid off his horse and passed the reins to a sec man.
Yes, father. But what if they smell a trap?
The old man grinned.
It's already too late.
The wooden machine was huge. A flat platform on wheels, a tall set of braced stanchions, with a crossarm longer than the base, and a lot of rope. It had taken them less than a day to build. A sec man pegged the wheels in place to prevent the contraption moving.
It's called a catapult. It launches a 50-pound rock 300 yards. Good accuracy, too, if the wind isn't too strong.
The wind was still that morning, with no sign of a storm.
We're going to use rocks again? I don't think rocks will harm those thick walls like the log palisades of those hamlets.
You are correct. Rocks would do nothing here. We're going to use dynamite bombs.
Near the catapult, more sick men were lugging tiny wooden barrels, no more than a demijohn in size, from the rear of a covered wag.
Each of those small barrels is filled with nails or broken glass, and has a half stick of dynamite inside.
Henderson paused to take a pinch of snuff. His box was almost empty. There had better be jolt in that fortress, or else he'd skin the survivors alive until some was found.
Once we get the timing right, they'll explode in the air, showering the ville with shrapnel like a shotgun blast. There won't be a man, woman, or dog alive inside those walls within a few hours. My grandson... I tried it on a gang of muties once, just to see, and it blew them into pieces.
At the ville, sec men lined the parapets or stood in every window, the vented barrels of the M-16s sticking out like porcupine quills. They were waiting for a siege ladder to appear, or a mass attack. What fools.
They're in position.
Henderson eagerly wiped spittle off his chin.
Launch the first bomb!
The fuse was lit, and the rope holding down the crossarm cut. The arm traveled a brief arc and slammed violently against the stopping bar. The whole catapult shook, but the barrel in the scoop flew over the hill toward Front Royal. It fireballed only yards short of the wall, the windows shattering, men disappearing, the water in the moat seeming to boil under the barrage of nails and glass. The Browns rallied within seconds, the return fire chewing the ground along the top of the hill as they strove to reach the machine behind the mound of dirt. Henderson laughed, openly rubbing between his legs.
One inch longer, fuse! I want to see blood on this shot!
The next barrel sailed over the wall and detonated above the city. Roofs collapsed and screams of pain sounded from the dying and wounded. Suddenly, the defenders in the windows started shooting at the trees on either side of the hill. Their sporadic fire became a steady stream of rounds, ripping the foliage of the forest apart. More than once, the blind firing was rewarded by a yell of pain or the scream of a dying horse. The Casanova troops dashed from the thick greenery to take refuge behind the hill.
Why would they do that? It makes no sense. No sense at all, unless... unless...
Without further comment, Henderson quickly climbed onto a horse and galloped for the horizon. The rest of his troops were shocked at the behavior. The fight had only begun. What was happening here? A few of the wiser sec men saw the frightened face of their leader, grabbed horses, and madly rode after the man. One corporal refused to release the reins of his mount, and a lieutenant shot him dead to get the stallion.
Father!
Thomas cried out, watching the old man disappear into the distance. What could he be up to? Some sort of trick to fool the Browns? It had to be. They were winning the fight. Soon Front Royal would be theirs. Then, in the woods, a man screamed in hideous pain. A blaster chattered. Another screamed. A third begged for mercy. His words cut off abruptly. Then, the monsters came out of the bushes on either side of the invaders. The huge, massively muscled beasts only vaguely resembled the primitive dogs they had been bred from. Clearly a lot of Mastiff was in the mixed blood, perhaps Doberman, maybe some Mutie also, but the titanic animal stood chest high at the foaming muzzle. Pointed fangs filled their long mouths, their black coats as shiny as a wet road. Silently, they moved among the yelling men, biting a groin and casting away the flesh, only to dart forward and attack another victim. They never stayed to savage the body or eat what they removed. It was uncanny, nightmarish. Plowing through the troops, the black beasts bypassed the terrified horses and charged for the catapult crew. Thomas couldn't believe it. How smart were these things? The first dodged a stream of bullets from a rapid fire and leaped upon a Sekhman, tearing out his throat, blood gushing from the grotesque wound. Shaking its head to toss away the bloody gobbet, the dog charged again and took another man in the groin. He dropped, screaming in a high-pitched voice, and fired at the beast, but missed. The dog savagely closed its powerful jaws on his exposed throat. There was a snap, and the noise stopped. Now the remaining Sekhmen started to fire at one another, as the deadly canines darted from man to man, removing a hand, ripping out a throat or a belly. One dog paused to swallow and was cut to pieces by crossfire from the blasters. None of the others made that lethal mistake. A beast sprinted toward Thomas, and he fired a blaster point-blank in its face. The slug plowed a bloody furrow along its head, and the creature closed jaws on the hand holding the weapon. The Sec Chief shrieked and fired again, the blast going through the dog, and he recoiled with only a stump at the ragged end of his arm.
Henderson! You lying bastard!
He tried to draw his second blaster with his left hand. The big man got it free of the holster, but dropped it to the ground. The dogs took this as their cue, and several converged on the weakening man. He caught one by the neck and shook it with a jerk, the neck snapping like a twig. Then another dog got him between the legs, as a third attached to his throat. Thomas went down, his hand clawing for the knife in a sheath on the wrong side of his body. His screams didn't last long, and soon there was only the sound of ripping flesh on the far side of the hill.
How many men did we lose?
Nathan wrapped a strip of cloth around his bloody arm. The wound was minor, but it would take a healer to remove the sliver of glass. Clem slid a fresh round into his Enfield.
Six, far as we know. What was that thing called again?
Catapult. I planned this defense against Mercies with a piece of pre-dark artillery, a howitzer or a mortar. But it worked well enough against the catapult.
More than well enough, my lord.
Clem grimaced, looking out the window at the dogs tearing the bodies apart. They would continue to do so until recalled. There was no way anybody could have survived this slaughter. Nathan had released every dog the Ville had, including the half-trained pups and bitches. Clem allowed himself a small smile of contentment.
So much for Baron Henderson. We're never going to hear from that rat-blasted son of a muti again.
Henderson urged the horse to greater speed.
Muti dogs. Never saw that coming. Bloody clever, Cotter, but not clever enough for me.
A lieutenant rode up beside him.
My lord, where do we go from here?
For the south. We'll need an army to take Front Royal. So I'm going to steal one.
As the LAV-25 rolled along, the ragged woods thinned to flat grasslands, and the ruins of pre-dark buildings rose on the horizon. Standing in the open turret, Sergeant Campbell could see the pieces of the paved street beneath the strips of grass, potholes and sewer grates dotting the expanse. The crumbling buildings stood like the rotten teeth of a decomposing corpse, windows and doors gone, nothing existing above the second level. Curiously, the sergeant of Beta Team noted that the destruction seemed to be mostly caused by fires and looting. He had seen ruins where the buildings were sheared off at exactly the same height from a nuke blast knifing across the land. Skydark had to have been one bitch of a show for the few survivors. In a weedy fountain, a bronze statue was covered with a layer of green moss and speckled with bird droppings. Wooden posts marked a long-gone fence, and a steel post stood where some sort of sign had to have been. Campbell grew nervous when he noticed how quiet the ruins were. No birds sang, and nothing moved in the weeds or grass. As the LAV rumbled into an open area, he called for a halt.
Scotty, check our location.
The sergeant jacked the bolt on the 25mm electric cannon. The hairs on his nape were stiff, but there was nothing dangerous in sight. Maybe he was just tired. More coffee. Yeah, that's all he needed. The rear doors of the APC swung open, and Scotty stepped out of the WAG, his blaster sweeping the ground for targets. The rest of the SEC men